It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than ketchup counting as a vegetable. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I am joined by Joe Curry.
Hello.
And Sensei Russ Ferdico.
What's up?
Pip is out. She will return next week. On the show, things you could do in school, but your kids can't. Schools are now relaxing nutrition standards, a huge lawsuit against Western Union, and a brand new turbulent air. But I want to get to something that Rush Limbaugh spoke about. Very interesting. I don't usually know what Rush says by choice. But just
I can't see you curling up with a cognac listening to Rush Limbaugh.
Funny. Like, oh, what does Daddy Rush have to say?
So insightful. Yes. So insightful.
He scratches me right where I itch. Yeah, I got to admit, he's not my go-to guy. Admit it. All right, anyway. So Limbaugh tells millions of his listeners that Stephen Colbert's late show audience is emblematic of a much larger threat to the Republic and ignorant citizenry prone to emotional manipulation. He says, oh, wow, huge Donald Trump fans here tonight, Mr. Colbert said, after his Tuesday crowd roared with approval at President Trump's decision to fire FBI Director James Comey. I actually saw that. I don't watch Colbert. I happen to catch that. The audience quickly did an about-face and booed future comments on the issue.
Wow.
There wasn't any Trump fans in there, Mr. Limbaugh said. They were liberal Democrats, robots, mind-numbed. They just can't keep up with whether they're supposed to hate Comey or not at this particular point in time. They don't know who they're supposed to hate. Can you imagine how confused they are? Their initial gut reaction was to stand up and cheer it, and Colbert was embarrassed. The host then offered analysis to similar to the death of expertise author Tom Nicholas, whose recent book warns, when that trust in experts breaks down, public ignorance can be turned by cynical manipulation into political weapon. Anti-intellectualism is itself a means of short-circuiting democracy, because a stable democracy in any culture relies on the public actually understanding the implication of his own choices. Mr. Limbaugh said the event was proof that large swaths of the public do not possess critical thinking skills. A representative republic or democracy depends on informed, engaged citizenry, and the left cannot tolerate that. All right, I got a couple things for me to get into here.
Yeah, man, this is a good one.
First, I agree that anti-intellectualism is a means for short-sighting a democracy.
I second that.
I've been saying that for years. Mm-hmm. Been saying that for years on this
Stupid
show.
Is a disease.
Also, it does seem, because I did watch it, it does seem like much of Colbert's audience is blindly liberal at this point.
Correct.
Which didn't used to happen with late-night talk shows, but Colbert came from a political background, mm-hmm. So that's what we have. However, Rush fails to realize or purposely admits that he's a big part of the problem. He is
partisanship,
not,
you mean?
Right.
Yes, partisan. All right, right. Got it.
When he talks about how many on the left wanted Comey to be fired, and now the left is blindly outraged. Some of them are. He's right.
No, they're playing a game. If he loves me, he loves me not.
Right. But he did admit a few things. First, many on the left started to come around, or at least take a wait and see approach, as Comey looked to be his own man in the face of criticism from the president and the ongoing investigation. And that's what everybody from both parties always said about Comey. He's his own man. He's not a partisan guy. That's why he got overwhelming approval originally to get the job.
Correct.
And I was not one who called for Comey to be fired. I mean, I wasn't happy with what he did. I had questions about it. I thought he made the wrong choice, but I didn't want him to be fired. I'm like, well, he's doing what he thinks is right, and these are the, and he pointed out the reasoning.
Yeah, but his entire tenure, not entire, his latter tenure at the FBI revolved around what decisions he was making to make a certain party happy.
No, I don't think he was
That's
doing
dangerous,
that.
Man.
I don't think he was doing that.
No, not him. Not him. I'm talking people, the mindless, the sheeple.
Oh, well, yeah, correct. But I don't think Comey was operating
that. No. I'm not saying him. I was like, that's unfortunate. You talk about anti-intellectualism. We're swimming in it right now.
Right.
Man.
But I want to go on. Also, while he says the left flip-flopped on Comey, and many did.
Yes.
He admits that Trump openly praised Comey and called him for courageous for reopening the case against Hillary before the election. The only thing that changed from before the election to now was Comey was investigating Trump. That was the only thing that changed. So Trump flip-flopped too, and a lot of Republicans flip-flopped too.
Possibly.
It goes both ways. It goes both ways when
it
comes to...
We'll have to see this one out.
No, but I'm saying how people feel about COVID.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
So, but my,
I wish Trump would rehire the guy just to see the Democrats get
hold of
this. But
what I'm saying is how Russia's part of the problem is he's not treating the topic fairly. He's just going, you over there did this, yeah, and my side didn't. Whereas I'm saying, yeah, a lot of the left did it, and a lot of the right did it, and there's hypocrites on both sides, and they both stink.
Correct.
That's what I'm saying. That's correct. Why this show, if you really want something that's quote-unquote fair and balanced, you come here. Because we're going to give you the facts and not try to
everyone's
break
a fair
mind.
Target.
What?
Everyone's a fair target.
Absolutely. Here's the problem, though. People no longer want to be challenged.
Correct.
They want their beliefs to be affirmed. You see this on social media by the amount of unfriending by people on both sides. You see how people only read articles or go to news programs that reaffirm their beliefs.
JFK said something. I actually have it on my desk. I
ouch.
Put the top down.
I beat you to it. Who was going to get ahead on that one?
It's hanging on my desk.
Shot.
It's been hanging.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, at least we didn't blow it. Anyway, go on.
It's been hanging on my desk. A quote from his 1963. It says, people enjoy the comfort of opinion without the discomfort of thought.
Yes.
And that's what the hell is going on in this country.
What a brilliant statement.
1963, it's been on my desk since my junior year of college.
That's kind of
the
general thought here. And basically, absolutely, when you know you say, well, people don't want to think anymore. Well, yeah, but the problem is that people are busy with their own lives and they get bombarded with the news and you get
correct
bombarded, you know, so much so and the news is coming in so hard and fast, you get it. It's tough to make a decision.
But you still have a choice.
24/7 news is a bit much to handle.
You still have a choice between reading something that says Occupy Democrats or something that like the conservative right or reading something that is quote-unquote
average people don't
regular news.
You know, really.
I mean, if it says pro whatever your team is in the title, you're probably going to get one opinion on it.
But this is what you do. On the way to the day program this morning, I'm driving and the whole thing about what Trump said to the Russians – I wanted to try to get the two sides to the story. So basically what you do, you put
Putin's and Trump's.
It's huge.
But Joe's going to be on a field trip to the gulag.
Oh, no.
But what you do, I put CNN on, and CNN is told, well, he released this, and my God, what did he say, and so on and so on. All right, so there's CNN's opinion on what's going on. Then you put Fox News on and go, look, what he said, whoever leaked this out is just as guilty. If there's anything there, this could be nothing. So you take with a grain of salt. You go, all right, look, we have to get to the facts. What was leaked out? Was it something in the context? Who was the source?
Facts. You said the F word. What are those? You know, facts?
What was the source? What did Trump actually say?
Correct.
What was said? Was it in the context?
Correct.
Was the news basically?
People are building the gallows already for the guy.
Right.
He knows squat.
You know, Fox News is saying, well, this is stuff that's kind of public knowledge. And what he was saying was about the laptops not being allowed on airliners. You know, is it bad and horrendous, as CNN said? A lot has to come out in the wash.
But isn't Rush hypocritical here?
It's his job.
I get that's his gig. But for this message of anti-intellectualism to come from him, it's a little disingenuous.
But after
he's a partisan.
He's made a career off of stupid people.
He's made off of partisan-minded people.
Well, which is stupid. If you don't want the facts and you just want to be stroked, it's stupid.
Let's pretend CNN doesn't do it. Let's pretend Katie Couric doesn't do it. It's a myopic point of view.
You know what? Listen, you turn on CNN, you still get your Jeffrey Lord.
Damn it, it's easy.
And
it's easy to talk to people you agree with.
All
he did.
The people I just named do not agree. What I'm saying is you get your Jeffrey Lords, your Kayleigh McEnany, you get the Trump side of things if you turn on CNN.
Okay.
Whereas if you listen to Rush, you don't really get the left side of it. You get Rush's side
correct
of it.
I don't get the right side from Katie Couric.
But in both instances, you could see them both coming from a mile away.
We can.
Most
a lot of
viewers
can.
Davin hit it on the head.
Because this is what we do.
George Carlin. You like George? You guys are professional comedians.
Yeah, yes. He's one of my
love
idols.
George Carlin. Correct. He should be. He's an amazing comedian. I'm serious. If you're in comedy and you don't like George Carlin, you suck. But anyway,
and
he
if
once
you're a sensei
said,
and you don't like Bruce Lee, you suck.
Yeah, correct.
Correct.
Same Mundo thing.
And Ralph Macchio too.
Correct. No, you can't do that. That's not funny. No, that's not funny.
Will Smith's kid?
No, not even Will Smith's kid.
Funny.
That's horrible. Anyway,
how about Kung Fu Panda?
He said, and I agree. George Carlin said, if you think about how dumb the average person is, You have to remember, 50% are dumber than that.
It's right.
And he's right. Yeah. And that's and I agree. Like, we look at it like, oh, my God. Like, we can see it coming a mile away.
Mm.
You know? But your average person, if you think about how dumb they are, they don't.
Yeah.
And then 50% more are dumber than that.
Yeah.
I mean, really, Trump calls it fake news. I know Davin's going to get on me because, you know, it's a Trump thing, but he's right. There's
a lot of fake news out there. Before Trump used fake news, a lot of people on the left were saying the crap he was reading was fake news.
It used to be called yellow journalism.
Don't be racist.
I'm not being racist, you jackass. It used to be called yellow journalism. Now Trump coined it. It's fake news. It is. Look at some of the stuff.
It's not news. It's just fake.
But I see things on my Facebook pop up during the day. That's like, you know,
Trump a comic book isn't a fake novel.
Trump has sex with giraffe. Or, you know, Hillary Clinton.
I want to see that video.
Yeah.
Forget about the Russian.
Hillary need a step ladder. Going to be great.
A third grader's
that neck was big. I was bigger.
Yeah, that giraffe being born, Mr. Trump, you are the father.
All right, don't go anywhere. All right, we'll lighten it up a little bit. We'll show our age and get cranky.
Cool.
So there's things that we were all roughly of the same age. Joe's going to die first, but we're all roughly of the same age. But Joe's a couple years older than us, but we're all
just
roughly.
Just a couple.
Just roughly.
12 years between
us. But you and I have kids. You and I have kids in school.
Yes.
And there are certain things that we all did in school.
Correct.
That these kids can't do. So we like to talk about those. One of them is lining up according to gender. I guess for recess and dismissal, two separate rows, one for boys, one for girls. But you don't hear about that these days. Now you need three rows. I guess. Maybe that's why they're not doing
exactly.
It. You know,
let's not touch this one.
Well, no teacher should, no matter what gender. Yeah.
Well, right. Wherever you think you belong, just get in a line.
I think that might be the thinking behind it.
I do this joke on my act that they're coming out with the first transgender doll, and I'm like, we're going from G.I. Joe to G.I. Don't Know.
Nice. Yeah.
In your school, do you know if the kids are still lining up by gender?
No, not to my knowledge.
I don't think so. I don't really have a problem with it.
It's just a lie.
I don't see the purpose of it. Unless I remember doing it to line up to go to the bathroom. Ooh. You know, like in elementary school, you line up. You know, they used to escort us out to the bathroom. What are you looking at me like that, Joe? We're not like wild animals.
It's time to pee, everyone. Line up.
Put them in the bathroom.
You can't have a bunch of 8-year-olds peeing whenever they want. You got to schedule them. Kids rely on a schedule.
There you go. Right.
They do. You can't pee willy-nilly. That's a story we're covering later on in the show. Somebody who had the audacity to pee when she wanted.
Tell my son that when he's trying to do his homework.
Or nilly-willy.
Do you think they should allow them to line up by gender?
You know, the funny thing is, this day and age, things are so messed up, I don't even think it matters. I don't know.
I don't think it's an issue. I don't have a problem with they do or they don't.
Not by gender. It's, you know, you're a boy, you're there, you're a girl.
But I don't see the need for
it. But that can cause a lawsuit these days.
I get if there was a kid.
If
you know what, you're
somebody
right.
Get on the wrong line, you're getting sued.
You know what? People are so sensitive now.
Exactly.
And you don't want to put a kid in a weird place.
Yeah.
It's probably better they don't do it.
Yeah, just don't even touch it.
Do it by race. Yeah. Let's go.
There you go.
You know where you
Mexicans,
belong.
You go by the wall.
You know where you belong. You know where you belong. And I'm not going to say who belongs where because I don't want to get kicked off the air.
Correct.
But you know. Get candy as a reward. Everybody knows kids do what you want them to do if you promise them candy. But teachers are you. But it's no. So it's no wonder teachers use rewards to good behavior and academic progress for treats. But thanks to Michelle Obama's efforts to remove junk foods from schools.
Correct.
However, this isn't done often anymore. And one teacher was recently fined for giving her students candy prizes.
Fine.
I don't remember getting candy as a treat.
I do. It's gotten to the point now where.
And look at you with your diabetes.
Nice. Diabetes. You got diabetes.
The diabetes.
That worked out. Had to have that Jolly Rancher, did you, Tubby? Now look at you. You're going to lose a toe. That teacher screwed you. Not literally, because that wasn't happening then. But
I remember You know, even cupcakes for birthday parties. They don't allow that anymore.
No, no, we are. I had a teacher who was a health nut. We couldn't. So we wanted
apples.
She wanted healthy snacks.
Apples. Who wants an apple? Who wants to sing happy birthday to an apple?
Third grade.
An apple. Who wants to sing happy birthday to an apple?
Third grade, Mrs. Fox wanted us to have healthy treats, so my mom brought in Yankee Doodles for the class and an apple for the teacher.
Nice.
Good. Here's your healthy treat. Enjoy it, stupid.
Good for her.
Yes. But my daughter still gets candy as a reward in school.
You know why? Because candy's delicious.
I understand.
Because it doesn't taste like cauliflower.
Apples not so much.
I understand. but here's an interesting thing. Because we do have
lettuce tastes like pizza, I'll sign up.
We do have an obesity issue in this country. So should we train people, kids, and then people to look at food as reward? Because that's what happens a lot of people later on in life. They look at food as reward for a job well done. Oh, I did good. Let me have a cupcake.
There's been candy in this country for as long as the country itself.
I understand that, but these are not children. These are not children who know discipline. These are kids. Kids, oh, give me as much. That's why kids eat as much candy until they kill.
That's a parenting. That's a parenting.
I understand that.
You know, if I put a box of brownies in front of my 6-year-old and come back in an hour.
But here's
the
thing.
Box will be gone.
When you're a kid, often teachers are elevated above parents, or at least on the same level. How often have you heard, "No, Daddy, you're wrong. My teacher said such and such." It happens.
Yeah, but look, the teachers have to reinforce it's a treat.
I understand, but should food be used as a treat?
Yes.
Should food be used as a reward?
Yeah, it's a treat. Yes, absolutely. For example, my son, my little guy had his kindergarten festival last night. He did great. Followed instructions, was a good boy. Did exactly.
He's plugging his kid.
So yeah, I mean, he was a good boy. So anyway,
where's he going to be next weekend? We'll go see him.
He associated his good behavior with getting a reward, and he asked, "Daddy, can we go get ice cream?" He goes,
"I think it's different. I think it's different coming from the parents."
Absolutely, I was like, "I'm very proud of you." He goes, "Yeah." He goes, "Do you think I can get ice cream? For a little treat?" And I was like, "Absolutely." But yes, in my house, snack.
But
that's
unhealthy. Couldn't a teacher accomplish the same thing, rewarding positive behavior with stickers, a toy?
Candy, too. Candy's the universal language of, a treat.
It's not something I would write my teacher about and make a stink about, because I wouldn't. But I could certainly see why there's better ways. Like what are in my daughter's class, if they get a certain amount of, A's in a row, they get a homework pass, which means that they don't have to hand in homework for that particular day. Mm-hmm. And that kids were, and it's the same thing, rewarding good behavior, but you're not leading to the bad habit.
Listen, there's no way a teacher giving a kid a piece of candy is going to make a kid obese. Bad
parenting. No, it does. No, not that on its
own. Inactive lifestyle is going to make a kid obese.
But kids are very impressionable. So maybe.
And I know there's some things, too, at birthday parties. The parent health nuts who don't let their kids have any treats at all.
But that's different.
They gouge themselves when they're around other kids.
That's different. All right. Pick teams and gym. We still have nightmares about being the last one picked for kickball and gym. By the way, there's adult kickball leagues. I might join.
You're going to be the last one picked?
No, I'm not. Very good. Look at these legs.
An adult kickball. When you play in the street and you use a car. That's
on.
Like, imagine professional kickball. We'll pause for a commercial. There's a car.
No. We're not animals. So they no longer let kids choose their own teammates.
How do they do?
They do it like the Mets.
All the losers go to the Mets. All the winners go over there.
The athletic kids were the captains, and you went down the line.
All the injury-prone kids go to the Mets.
Yeah.
Now, you know what? Listen, that was a traumatizing thing. I mean, I was never the last one picked, but I was a heavy kid, so I was one of the last ones picked.
So?
It was traumatizing. I don't really have a... you did look forward to being
as
the captain.
As a teacher for a sticker instead of a Jolly Rancher.
Right. Anyway,
I thought it was fun.
Yeah, but I stunk at sports, and I was always picked last, but I knew it because I would,
I understand.
The athletic kids were the team captains, and he got picked down the line.
It was just the way, it's the way it is. The jocks would run. They'd be, their friends would go on there, and you'd be picked last.
Picked for the spelling bee?
What we did when I was coaching softball, when we do, interest team games, when we weren't playing against another team, we would have two kids pick their teams, and then when you get down to the last, four or six kids, then a coach would intervene and go, all right, you guys go over here, you guys will go over there. I think that's a good compromise. You still let the kids get the thrill of picking. The best kids still get to be recognized as the best kids, but you're not traumatizing the kids that are inept at a young age. I think that's a good compromise.
If you say, I don't know why you got to politicize dodgeball, but
it's not politicized.
Actually, dodgeball is illegal these days, I heard.
I don't know about that. I think the way we did that in the Little League, I think that's a good solution.
If you say so, all right. Yeah.
Well, if you head down to the last bunch of kids, yeah, you know,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you know, because it's either that or you guys
make the more sucky kids go first and the less sucky kids go last. How do you?
No, you just pick whoever's going to be the two captains. And
you put names in a hat.
Yeah, you do it that time, or sometimes you know you reward them. They had a great game last game, whatever it is. Those guys pick. They pick the first five or six on their team, and then the last couple, the coaches go, "You two go over there. You two go over here," and that way nobody feels awful. It's not a bad way to do it. I kind of liked it.
Because the other choice was the bench. You know, if you were less, well, all right, you guys sit on the bench if we need you.
Yeah, but that
was, you know.
Someone gets hurt, you get athletic play. If you're just sitting on your butt. That's what got you last pick to begin with.
Yeah, Coach, back in those days, Coach wanted to win, especially if your team was playing against
gym
the other
class.
Team. Yeah, especially because we used to have dodgeball and stuff like that, and we would have one teacher on one side and another teacher on the other. And it got down and dirty, you know.
Did it?
Yeah.
With hardcore fifth grade kickball.
Yeah, baby.
How down and dirty did it get, Joe?
Oh,
were lives lost? Men have died.
Yeah, pretty much. there was blood on that portable wall.
I like the idea of kids having the ability to handle disappointment and hurt. You know, that's why we're such a hypersensitive society. You can't say boo to anybody anymore.
Remember,
you know, I think you know you just gotta know your place. If you're unathletic, know it, deal with it. You know, if you're smart, good, be proud of it.
Yeah,
well, that was another. That was my wife was just saying. You know, when she was growing up, she was ashamed of being smart. We used to smart shame people.
Yes, I remember walking down the aisle, getting my Honor Society medal, going back, hanging out with my little headbanger crew in 1993. And one of my knucklehead friends, who I still speak with on Facebook once in a while, says, "I didn't know you were smart." Just like that.
We still don't.
Just like that. I'm just giving an example, you wise ass.
It's Wrecking Ball Radio. This is Stavinsden.
Time to fight again.
Kung Fu fighting.
Unsheathe our swords.
All right.
I'm in.
So schools won't have to cut salt in meals just yet, as they can serve kids fewer whole grains under changes to federal nutrition standards. The move by the Trump administration rolls back rules championed by former First Lady Michelle Obama as part of her healthy eating initiative. As his first major action in office, Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue says the department will delay the requirement on lowering the amount of sodium in meals while continuing to allow waivers for regulations that all grains on the lunch line must be rich in whole grains. That means that they are more than half whole grain. Schools also could serve 1% milk instead of non-fat, which is now required. Perdue, a former governor of Georgia, said some schools in the South have had problems with grits because the whole grain variety has little black flakes in it and the kids won't eat it. If the kids aren't eating the food and it's ending up in the trash, they aren't getting any nutrition, thus undermining the intent of the program. Let's see. Perdue said the department will work on long-term solutions to help schools that say the Obama administration standards are too restrictive. The changes reflect suggestions from the School Nutrition Association, which represents school nutrition directors and companies that sell food to schools. So there's that lobbying organization. The group often battled with the Obama administration, which phased in the healthier school meal rules starting in 2012. Obama pushed the changes as part of her Let's Move campaign to combat childhood obesity. The Obama administration rules set fat, sugar, and sodium limits on foods in the lunch line and beyond. Schools have long been required to follow government nutrition rules if they accept federal reimbursements for free and reduced price meals for low-income students, but these standards were stricter. The Trump administration changes leave most of the Obama administration rules in place, including rules that students must take fruits and vegetables on the lunch line. Some schools have asked for a change to the policy, saying the students often throw them away. As the healthier school meals have now been in place for 5 years, many schools have gotten used to them, and the children have developed more of a taste for the healthier foods. But schools have said some parts of the law are still causing them trouble, such as finding tasty foods that are high in whole grains. Some school nutrition directors have said they have a hard time finding whole grain pastas, biscuits, and tortillas that kids will eat. By foregoing the next phase of the sodium reduction, the Trump administration said, will be locking in dangerously high sodium levels in school administration. The Trump administration will be locking in dangerously high sodium levels. A lobbyist for the Center for Science and Public Interest. So there's that lobby.
Yeah, another lobby.
All right. So here we go. We know this country has a big problem with childhood obesity. We know this. We know this leads to adult obesity, and we also know we have a huge problem with juvenile diabetes, which has serious outcomes, including drastically shortening lifespans. These are not disputable.
Correct.
These are facts. They're not alternative. These are facts.
Yeah.
In lieu of that, I don't support the easing of the standards because we know, for instance, sodium makes you retain water and makes you heavier. That's why when you do a lot of diets, they want you to watch your sodium. We know sodium is bad for you. We know foods high in sodium and high of all these preservatives are not good for you. So why would we give these to the children? Because children's bodies are much more sensitive to this than we are.
Correct.
They're developing. The brain is developing. We know we're getting our butt kicked all over the place in education. Mm-hmm. You know, forget about the violence and all that's going on. So we know as far as testing goes, we're not doing well. Why wouldn't we do right by our children and make sure they have the most nutritious foods? And if the kids won't eat the food, we talked about this before the show, I think, how government of all levels waste money, which I think we would all agree. Why can't we find chefs out there who can make tasty food that's healthy? Why can't we buy fresh ingredients? To me, that seems like a proper way to use our tax dollars in the school system.
Because it's going to cost a lot more.
Ladies make $28,000 a year and chefs make $150,000.
Yeah, it's also going to cost more in our school taxes.
Yeah, it's money, bro.
The kids aren't eating the food. Also, the waste.
Make it better.
But it's going to cost more to make it better.
That's
okay?
Not the answer.
I've been saying it for butter.
In addition.
And look at you.
Yeah.
<I'm sorry. laughs> I mean, come on now.
Butter is better.
Is it?
Butter is better.
And look at you.
Very funny.
I'm
not saying I'm better.
You're far from a specimen, my friend.
That's what I'm saying there.
Right, but I'm not saying shove more lard into your gullet.
Yeah, why not? Wrap it in pancake batter and deep fry it.
Hold on.
Okay, Kentucky.
This whole thing with the nutrition and the kid, everybody that's gone to school, the lunch lady there gives you a serving, okay? It's a portion, okay? It's not like these kids are loading up on stuff. If they're having a decent portion in moderation, that's fine.
Right, but if it's all high in sodium and fat, it doesn't matter if it's moderation. It's bad.
In the moderation, it's not that bad. How much? And also, if they're not eating it, they're not.
Well, that's what I don't agree with.
And
that.
If they're going to throw it out, you know,
vegetable thing. Listen, if the kids aren't eating the fruits and vegetables, don't make them take it. I don't agree with that.
You don't want to waste food, but you got to remember, and you know, it's been 20 years since I've gone to school, but I remember going to my college cafeteria, the food court, and you get the vegetables, and they're overboiled, soaked in butter and
disgusting.
Salt. So you take one of the most wholesome, nutritious things on the planet, and you boil the nutrients out of it. And lace it in butter and salt.
But that's what I'm saying. Let's spend the money and get people who can properly cook food.
So we spend. Where's the money
come? You don't care and you'll be dead soon.
We could spend. You know, enough spending.
Yeah. Well,
Didn't I say we waste money?
We do waste money, but can money solve this problem? I mean, you got to remember, a lot of these kids are obese, not just because, I believe most.
And also a lot of these
kids are obese because of inactivity. Yeah, because of diet.
That's part of it, but a lot of these kids, poor kids, this is the only shot at a healthy meal they're going to get all day.
Listen, we've tried high fat, we've tried low fat, we've eliminated, sugar's almost illegal right now. Trans fats are illegal in some
places. Hey, I would get the sodas out of the schools,
Here's the problem.
Would you agree with getting sodas out of the school?
Yes, absolutely. But
how about the caffeinated drinks? Would you agree with that?
Caffeinated? I'm not a big fan
Like
of
Red
young...
Bull? Would you get that out?
Absolutely.
Do you have Red Bull?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan
they
of young
They have coffee.
Kids
they have all sorts of stuff.
Coffee, no.
I don't think kids need coffee.
No.
No, they don't need coffee. We never had coffee.
Overstimulating children with caffeine. That's ridiculous. But I have noticed something.
Overstimulating with porn, the way we were.
Hey, you guys, you go to Manhattan. When I am in major cities walking around, I feel fatter than when I'm driving around up here. I've noticed that most, not all.
Well, yeah, because nobody's walking around if they're fat.
Correct. Our problem is, I don't believe our problem is, we've had the food pyramid now for years. We've had all these low carb, no carb, this carb, high grain, no grain, whatever. It's activity. I've worked with kids for decades. Most of my overweight students, they're inactive.
It's a complete lifestyle, though. You got to be more active.
They're inactive. That's
what
it is.
You got to eat better.
Mm. People, especially in rural and suburban areas, are even more inactive.
Right, and they're not eating healthy.
Our phys ed programs are horrible. You don't spend the money in the cafeteria on food kids aren't going to eat. Give them better phys ed programs.
Yeah, well,
that's what these kids need.
Phys ed programs stink. They don't, they
there's
don't
no money.
They don't teach competition.
Most school, we got high class schools in New York State. They got part time gym teachers.
All right, last thing on this. Ronald Reagan famously allowed ketchup to be considered a vegetable.
That's awesome.
You think that's good?
Go Gipper.
You think that's
what
good?
What would ketchup be without French fries?
What?
What would ketchup be without French fries?
That's not answering the question.
Ketchup is made from a vegetable.
Correct. It's tomatoes.
You know how much
vinegar
high
vinegar and salt.
No, it's mostly high fructose corn syrup, which is really
no,
bad.
No, that's fake ketchup, though.
Oh, I'm sure they're getting the top of the line fancy ketchup.
How much ketchup? This is why he cracks me. They're going to give them ketchup, and how much ketchup are they going to use? They're going to use a truck.
No, you're not missing the point.
No, I'm not.
I'm not saying they can't have ketchup. I'm saying that they're categorized
good
ketchup as a
who
vegetable.
Cares? Who cares? How much ketchup are you going to be that upset about something that the kids aren't even going to use? Use that much of?
Dude, you told a guy to put ketchup in his mac and cheese.
No, we're saying that for years there's been a law that they have to take fruits and vegetables.
Yes.
And when under the...
And ketchup counts as one.
Right.
That's awesome.
Oh, my God.
But it's ketchup. Squirt. Little squirt.
How else do you add vegetables to macaroni and cheese?
May I have the low-fat milk? May I have the steamed vegetables? Also that boneless chicken that's without the skin? And may I have 12 gallons of ketchup? Because I'm going to skate through the rules here. It's a vegetable.
It doesn't even make sense.
It does make sense. Because you're worried about a condiment that people don't use that much of on their food.
You're not worried about anything. You're a very selfish person.
I'm not a selfish person. I'm not a warrior for this nonsense.
You only think about yourself. You never forward
stop
think.
Stop it. Stop it.
They're at it again.
Cut it out.
You don't.
Cut it out.
Let's go to break.
I like ketchup.
All right, some good news. We have a large following of people that have been scammed or anti-scammers. We have a lot of stuff with scam and fraud. So we got some good news for you tonight. Money transfer giant Western Union, you've heard of them, right, Joe?
Yeah.
Has agreed to pay $586 million in connection with its failure to prevent criminals from moving ill-gotten money using its flat platform, according to federal authorities.
And we know about that, too.
Yes, we do. And a statement from the U.S. Department of Justice and Federal Trade Commission. Authorities describe insufficient or poorly enforced policies that resulted in the funneling of hundreds of millions of dollars in proceeds from illegal gambling, fraud, and drug and human trafficking. Western Union admitted to criminal violations, including its willful failure to maintain an effective anti-money laundering program and aiding and abetting wire fraud.
Are you kidding me?
No. Western Union owes a responsibility to American consumers to guard against fraud, but instead the company looked the other way and its system facilitates scammers and rip-offs, says FTC Chairwoman Edith Ramirez. This happened – she actually happened in January, so I don't know if Ramirez is still there. This happened.
Shut him down.
This happened at the very end of the Obama administration. Anyway, authorities say that employees allowed or aided and abetted fraudsters in processing illicit proceeds and that the company knew about it. However, rather than firing them, Western Union allowed employees to continue working for the company, even paid them bonuses. In one case, illegal immigrants from China sent money back to the people who smuggled them across the border.
Oh, no way.
With the help of employees, the payments were structured so that they didn't trigger reporting requirements under the Bank Secrecy Act. In another example, Western Union processed hundreds of thousands of transactions for an international scam wherein fraudsters directed people to send money in order to claim a prize or help a relative. Western Union employees often processed the payments in return for a cut of the proceeds. This scheme illustrates a flawed corporate culture, said U.S. Attorney Wilfredo Ferrer of the Southern District of Florida, which failed to provide a checks and balances approach to combat criminal practices. As part of the agreement with authorities, Western Union has agreed to implement a stricter policies to prevent future fraud and money laundering. The forfeiture of $586 million will be used to reimburse consumers who were victims of fraud from 2004 to 2012. It's the largest forfeiture that's ever been imposed on a money servicing business. They said, we acknowledge that in certain instances in the 2004 to 2012 period of time, the company did not do as much as it should have with respect to agent oversight, said Bill Chandler, spokesman for Western Union. We will continue raising the bar to protect people. Western Union expects to record a charge of approximately $570 million in its fourth quarter by matters related to the settlement. Now, in 2013, 2014, sometime around that area, we covered a story in which an African man claimed that Western Union was on the scam, was in on the scam. Do you remember that show?
Yes.
Do you remember that? And do you remember I was emailing back and forth with a Western Union rep and tried to get them on the show? Do you remember that?
And it wouldn't come on.
They would not come on.
Would not come on.
They were willing to give me some answers, like in emails, but they would not send one of their reps onto the show.
Right, right.
That's the part where the government should step in and shut them down. I'm sorry.
Well, the government did step in.
Somebody on the board of directors should be in jail right now. Are they a public company?
Yeah.
Yeah, can't shut them down, but can fine them, you know?
If there was malice and intent there.
There sure was.
The board of directors, somebody should be wearing silver bracelets right now.
Was the amount enough? $586 million? Is that enough?
That should do it to learn them a lesson.
I think it should have been more.
Absolutely.
When you think about the period of time this was going on and how many people...
It's fraud. It's illegal.
Human trafficking.
Really? No. There's no. The board of directors, somebody should be wearing silver shackles right now.
But we know that. We know that doesn't happen to white-collar crimes. We know that doesn't. We know that.
Human trafficking? That's not a white-collar crime.
No, they'll get the people who are human trafficking.
That's real-life stuff.
But we know that the higher people in these corporations, they don't go to jail.
This isn't some, you know, affluent guy who placed a bet on the Jets and won some money, and he's getting a Western Union.
Do you think this is going to change the culture in Western Union?
No, not until someone goes to jail.
I don't think this does anything either.
$500 million? Really? What's that?
Yeah, I think it's a drop in the bucket.
Yeah, honestly.
I think it is good news, though, for scam victims, though. I think it is good news for people who lost money that way. I would encourage them to go on the Western Union website and find out about this and find out how you could get your money. I don't know how much you could get. You probably need to have your Western Union stubs, you know, of you sending money to wherever you were sending it to. But that's what I would do.
Wow. That's unbelievable. No, that's a point where anytime it's interstate, you know, this is obviously
it's international.
International, exactly. Exactly. That's what the feds are supposed to do. Where are you, idiots?
Well, I mean,
shut them down.
They crack down on them.
That's not cracking down. That's a wrist slap.
All right.
David, I'm sorry.
All right. Turbulent air when we come back.
This is Davin's Den.
Why wouldn't it?
What?
Things started skipping. All right. Last segment of the show, we'll do something a little lighter. I don't know if it's really lighter.
Oh, she was lighter.
Yeah.
Lighter than air?
Is it?
I mean, it's terribly in air, isn't it?
Yes. I can't find the Joe, what'd you call it? Oh, here it is. This is the one you always misnamed.
Wait. What are you talking about?
No, I found it. I know what I'm looking for.
Yeah. You can always rename it.
It's hard to do in the program.
This is your captain speaking. If you look to your right, you'll see a beautiful, serene river. If you look to your left, majestic mountains. Uh-oh. Straight ahead, it seems like we have a big black cloud. We're going to need you to fasten your seatbelts, folks, because it looks like we're in for a turbulent flight.
So a mother or two desperately needed to use the restroom on a United Airlines flight, of course. But before I kill United, I saw this pop up today on Yahoo. I didn't read the article, but apparently on American Airlines... A black woman had a... I hope this isn't true, but I saw it online. A black woman had a first-class ticket.
Okay.
She was with a white friend.
Okay.
They ordered the black woman to the back of the plane. I hope
what?
That's
fake news.
I hope it is.
I gotta look at that. Oh. It was on a major website.
And if it was fake news, maybe she didn't have the first-class ticket, and they put it, you know, maybe she didn't have a first-class ticket, and they tried
to... Because people in the airline industry never do anything stupid. Anyway, I
go on. Just give me the benefit of the doubt.
Don't give it to me. I don't want to be
just beat up a Chinese doctor. Why don't they send the poor black lady back to the end of the plane?
Yeah, she got off
easy.
That's
disgusting. I know, right? They didn't hit her. I know, right?
You didn't get your butt kicked at the...
You're the Rosa Parks of the sky. Get back there.
It's always progress when black people aren't getting tased.
Anyway, I digress. But this happens on a United airline. Says she was humiliated by an attendant who told her to urinate in a cup.
No, what?
It was Joe's good cup. During the recent trip, which we departed from Houston. Gotta listen to the whole show to get it all
right, folks. This isn't fake news?
No, this happened.
Fake news.
Oh, come on.
During a recent trip, which departed from Houston, Texas, Nicole Harper, a Kansas City emergency room nurse, got up to use the bathroom. However, a flight attendant told her to sit down. She says they started doing drink service and other people were getting up at this point. According to Harper, the restroom was already occupied and people started to get up and move around. The mother has an overactive bladder. and told the attendant
lawsuit right there.
That told the attendant her need was urgent. However, at the moment, the plane was experiencing turbulence, and the attendant told me very rudely I was not allowed to get out of my seat. Harper then made a split-second decision. Well, I'm going to need a cup. She said she thought she was on candid camera or being punked because she thought Alan Funt was still alive. I don't know.
Oh, no.
With her husband beside her, Harper filled two cups with urine, and afterward an attendant told her to empty the cups in the bathroom, and she would be reported, and the pilot would meet her after the flight for her talking to. Harper was also informed that her seat would need to be professionally cleaned. She was basically reprimanding me and talking down to me in front of everybody. United spokesman said the following statement to Yahoo. Customer safety is always our first priority. Is it? Is it?
It really is.
Cover when we beat you, stupid. Duck it. Take Sensei's class. We're now offering it on our flights to everybody.
God, what the worst company ever.
Customer safety is always our first priority. Initial reports from Mesa Airlines flights, a flight attendant, indicate that Ms. Harper attempted to visit the lavatory in descent, was instructed to remain seated with the seatbelt fastened per
You know, I'm sorry, you know Sean Spicer, when he's at that podium, goes, this stinks, but at least I'm not the spokesman for United.
Yeah. It could be worse, Sean.
You could be the spokesman for United.
Yeah, there you go.
Might be his next gig. Harper disputed the airline's version of events, writing, United Airlines lied about reaching out to me. I attempted to reach them multiple times over the past 2 weeks and was repetitively told customer service would not take my call. They also lied to me about the incident happening during the descent. This all happened mid-flight while flight friends were providing drinking thing. All right. For this conversation, let's assume Harper's version is the correct one.
All right.
We don't know. We weren't on the flight.
I got to believe her. I got to go with her. I'm sorry. After they beat the hell out of that doctor.
You're saying the credibility shot.
It's shot. Totally shot.
If the plane was experiencing turbulence, but the woman was experiencing a medical issue, did the flight attendant do the right thing by sending her back to her seat to pee?
No.
No, I think they did. I think it's FAA regulations.
It's a medical emergency. She has an overactive bladder.
Yeah, but I mean, but if you're experiencing, they're damned if they do, damned if they don't. Because if she gets hurt in the bathroom because you're bouncing around, it's very confined. Yeah. They're responsible for that too. Well, FAA regulations say you have to get to your seat.
It's a good point. I'm just so down on United after what they did to that poor guy.
I'm trying to be objective about this.
I just hope they get bought out by somebody else.
No, they didn't.
Yeah.
Were they serving drinks at the time?
Well, that's her version. That's her version of the story.
Because if they're serving drinks, right? Because if they're serving drinks and they're having turbulence, what are they going to have?
No. Once turbulence stops, they kind of put everything on. They kind of put everything on kibosh, depending on how severe the turbulence is. You definitely have to go back to your seat once the turbulence starts. I mean, if you're in Harper's situation, do you pee in a cup? I mean, that's what she did. Is that the move? You pee in the cup?
A medical condition? I mean, yeah. I mean, if she legitimately has an overactive bladder or a condition that causes that. It is what it is, man. You know, it's not the rule, it's the exception, but it is what it is.
I think the real audacity here is that they're expecting her to clean the seat. I think that's a little much. I you know what? She had a medical situation. Really? Something went on the air. We'll clean the seat.
Yeah, I'm just down on United right now.
I'm down on all airlines. I'm flying United this week.
Are you?
Yeah. Can't wait to get my ass beat.
Bob and weave.
You got any tips for me, Sensei?
Yeah, Bob and weave.
What do you do when a gay flight attendant attacks?
Keep moving your head.
Get into your prone position and grab your ankles.
Ew, no.
I brought some mace with me. What, in case of a hijacking?
Mace onto a flight?
I know. But
you're defenseless up there. I'm going to swing my child at them.
That's the good old days. You can bring weapons on airplanes.
Yep, that's cool.
You were safe from the staff.
Have you ever been in that situation, though, where you're on a flight and you really got to go and they won't let you?
Yes, but I don't have an overactive bladder.
Yeah, I mean,
I can hold it for, 20 minutes or 15 minutes. Well, this poor woman's got a medical condition. Yeah. That's what it is, man.
But again, that's not the flight's fault. That's not that
correct.
I mean,
correct.
The airplane doesn't know you got an issue.
But you got to. There's also a bedside manner. There's a way to handle a situation.
But you know what? If you have a medical condition and you know that if there's turbulence you can't get up, we all know this. If there's turbulence you can't get up, this is nothing new. Don't you almost have a responsibility? I mean, I hate to be crass, but to wear like Depends or something in case you're in that situation.
Okay.
I mean, there is a workaround. It is your problem. This is not the airline's problem.
Yeah, it's reasonable. But it's also how a customer support rep a representative of a company handles a situation.
Oh, yeah, United, that's not their strength.
Exactly. 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 So that's why I got to...
Pirate ships have better customer service than United.
Oh, honestly.
Nobody gets up to pee until we get to the bounty.
That kind of pirate. I'd rather get hijacked off the coast of Somalia than fly United right now.
We can arrange that.
I'm not going to Somalia with you.
Arr, get back there and you not get another bag of peanuts.
We be experienced turbulence. You all be sitting in your seats now. Rock, sit in your seats. Sit in your seats.
Arr, you pee in your doubloons.
Nice.
I mean, I think she does have to accept some responsibility.
Yeah. I'm just so down on United right now. As much as I agree with you, I hope she sues and wins.
I don't know. I mean,
I'm sure the way in which she was treated was deplorable.
Well, according to her version. Her version, yes.
Yeah, I'm going with her. I don't believe anything.
But then again, the flight attendant, listen, the flight attendant, if it's a turbulence thing, it's a safety issue. It's it's getting your seat. I mean, we know this.
Yes.
All right. Joe, where are you going to be?
Moving. Right. There's no gigs till I get done.
All right.
Tonight I'll be sitting on my couch with some rum before bed.
There you go.
There you go.
All right. Thank you guys for hanging out. Follow us on Twitter at Davins and like us on Facebook. Follow the whole show, the old shows. Well, when we took on Western Union, it's all up there. Go to davinsden.com. If you like us, tell a friend. If you hate us,
tell no one.
Either way, please.